that I ask you. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to deal with some of the jurisprudential laws related to fasting and the blessed month of Ramadan. Please remember us in your du'as, keep us in your prayers, and wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Oh Allah, please unite us and guide us to paradise. Oh, and guide us to paradise. Ramadan is here. Allah's mercy is near. Time to give, time to share, time to show.
Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, "The Lord Most High has chosen for us certain followers, Shiites, who assist us. If we are joyful, they are joyful. And if we are sorrowful and sad, they are sorrowful and sad."
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked among
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asl zindat dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
در ماه رمضان مهمه اینه که ماه رمضان ماه قرآنه. قرآن بخونم. قرآن نمیگه ماه رمضانی که روزه واجب شد.
One very important point regarding the holy month of Ramadan is what the Holy Quran emphasized about. The Quran states, Ramadan is the month in which the Holy Quran was revealed. This means that the importance of the holy month of Ramadan is linked with the Holy Quran. There are two important aspects to the Holy Quran. One is the recitation, and another is contemplation and the ayahs of the Holy Quran, the second of which is more important.
در هر شأن و شرایطی هستی، در هر مرحله هستی.
In Ayah 61 of Surah Yunus, we read, You do not engage in any work, neither do you recite any part of the Quran, nor do you perform any deed without our being witness over you when you are engaged therein. This ayah of the Holy Quran means that all our deeds are witnessed directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially a recitation of the Holy Quran, which is very much recommended during the holy month of Ramadan. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. To find out more about this program, please log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Ayahs, 30 days. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Quran but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors. Every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavy duty. So the ulama that are Muslim scholars took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. In the episode of Ramadan special series, we are going to explain Ayah 124 of Surah Nisa of the Noble Quran. The ayah speaks on righteous deeds and the equality of man and woman in this regard. Stay tuned, please. Ramadan is the month of a banquet whose host is Allah, and everyone has been invited to the banquet. Fasting is not like Hajj, which is obligatory only when a Muslim is able, both physically and financially, to do it. Also, fasting is not like Khums or Zakat, which become obligatory for the additional amount of money or specific properties. Fasting also differs from daily ritual prayer, which is obligatory on everyone in any condition. Fasting is obligatory only during the blessed month of Ramadan for men and women who can abstain from eating and drinking for certain hours. Woman in Islam is equal to man in reproduction and continuation of generation. Man is father and woman is mother. Woman's role is not inferior to man. Both of them are essential for life. Allah says in Ayah 124 of Surah Nisa of the Noble Quran, "And whoever does righteous deeds, whether male or female, should be faithful. Such shall enter paradise, and they will not be wronged so much as speck on a date stone." Ayah 35 of Surah Ahzab of the Noble Quran also reads, "Indeed the Muslim men and the Muslim women, and the faithful men and the faithful women, and the obedient men and the obedient women, and the truthful men and the truthful women, and the patient men and the patient women, and the humble men and the humble women, and the charitable men and the charitable women, and the men who fast and the women who fast, and the men who guard their private parts and the women who guard, and the men who remember Allah greatly, and the women who remember, Allah holds in store for them forgiveness and a great reward." This ayah clearly shows that man and woman are equal before God. The road to perfection and sublimity is open for human beings regardless of their gender. As for social and personal rights too, there is no difference between man and woman. What seems to be discrimination in a few specific laws is due to the differences of man's and woman's nature. Therefore, some advantages are granted to man and some others to woman. God names Pharaoh's wife Asiye as a role model for all faithful. He also names Prophet Noah's wife as a role model for unfaithful. It means that woman is the axis of good and evil for the whole mankind. The reality of woman's status and dignity has been ignored in human systems throughout centuries. Some civilizations considered women inferior to men. Some others even considered woman as an animal at the service of man. In the ancient Rome, man was the absolute authority at home. He could sell, lend, or donate his wife as a means of pleasure or service to others. If she committed sin, he had the right to punish her in any way that he wished. He was entitled to even kill her. This continued in the West till Renaissance and the so-called era of Enlightenment. With the onset of the Industrial Revolution and formation of capitalist system, a new phase of woman's slavery began. The capitalist system, in order to increase consumerism and coordinate the market of supply and demand, was in need of forging a hunger for consumption of goods. In view of this, the media controlled by capitalists modeled the tastes of society in line with their vested interest. Thus, people thought that they should consume more to have a happier life. This trend led women, consequently men, to excessive consumerism. Women, however, were harmed more due to their nature. Therefore, they started a competition towards physical show-off. In other words, profiteering media inculcated the feeling in women that their value and personality was related to exposing their female beauties and attractions. This turned women into tools in the hands of companies and tradesmen. Consequently, sexuality and nakedness became a norm, and little by little it became the highest criterion to evaluate women in the West. It is a matter of laughter that this magnitude of disrespect to women and instrumental use of them has ever since been introduced as support for women's rights, and Islam has been propagated as a violator of their rights. Ruling systems in the world have raised various claims on women since old times, and most of them have been formed with the motto of equality of the rights of men and women. The Islamic Republic system is not an exception in this respect. The Islamic Republic of Iran has put forward novel view on women, and that's why it has been the target of incessant assaults by enemies for 45 years. Iran's Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi said in an interview with the Italian journalist Oriana Fallaci in 1974, "In the life of man, woman is not considered anything except when she is beautiful and charming, keeping her female features. You women have never had a Michelangelo or Bach or even a great cook. You have had nothing great. Honestly, how many women have you seen in your interviews who are able to administer a country?" Imam Khomeini, the architect of the Islamic Revolution, however, says on human dimension of woman, "Woman is a human and a great human. Woman is the trainer of society." Elsewhere, Imam Khomeini says on the Prophet's special attention to women, "The history of Islam is testimony to the unlimited respects of the Messenger of God to this noble child to show that woman enjoys a special greatness in society such that if she is not superior to man, she is not inferior." The Imam's view is in total contrast to the Western culture. Imam Khomeini considers woman as the trainer and manager of family, as believes that woman's lap is the best school for educating children. He says on the status of mother, "The many rights of mothers cannot be counted and fulfilled. One night of mother for her child is more valuable than a committed father's life. The embodiment of affection and mercy in the bright eyes of mother is the ray of mercy and affection of the Lord of the worlds." The hadith that reads, "Paradise is under the feet of mothers," is a reality. The Noble Quran presents the best and loftiest descriptions on women. This eternal book of guidance says in Ayah 21 of Surah Rum, "And of his signs is that he has created for you mates from your own selves, that you may take comfort in them, and he ordained affection and mercy between you. There are indeed signs in that for those who reflect."
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains. Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs to my brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, the son of Abu Talib, alayhi salam. So, dear friends, again, a beautiful persona that we are discussing, a universal persona that we are discussing, this persona which has taught us so many life lessons. It has taught us how to live life the right way, the pure way, has taught us the things which will destroy our life and which will destroy our hereafter. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the living, breathing miracle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, this rightful successor to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And of course, this is the persona which Allah has ordained to be the role model. If you want to follow the footsteps of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, then follow the footsteps of Imam Ali, alayhi salam. One of the things that we find that is really beautiful in the persona of Imam Ali, alayhi salam, is His Eminence's presence of heart when it came to prayers, when it came to the salah. Right now, we kind of hear this all the time, that we should focus in our prayers, we should have presence of heart in our prayers, we should be focused and pay attention in our prayers. This is something that we hear a lot, and many have said many different things about this. We bring forth a very humble example of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that His Eminence, his presence of heart was such that when there was an arrow stuck in Imam Ali alayhi salam's calf or his leg, during the wartime, a piece of it had remained in his calf. So half of it had broken and just half of it was in his leg. And so the people asked the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, how should they remove it? And so His Eminence, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he said that when Ali is in prayers, then remove it. And so when Imam Ali alayhi salam was in his prayers, in his salah, the people came and they pulled this arrow that was broken out of the calf of Imam Ali. And Imam Ali did not make a sound. He did not, scream or yell or cry. Matter of fact, he continued his prayers as if nothing had happened. And this, dear friends, is the presence of heart that we are,
trying to achieve. Sure, we can never achieve this level of presence of heart, but the bar has been set. And the least we can do is kind of try to go in that direction, even though we won't be able to reach that ultimate bar that His Eminence, you know, has set. But most definitely, we should at least try to have a presence of heart and have focus and attention when it comes to our prayers, because if we do, it will increase the value of those prayers, and it will most definitely increase the benefit of those prayers, and it will be accepted, as many of the traditions of ours say. A very comprehensive lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثنائي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائي.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
And now we invite you to listen to Fayyaz Ja'far.
How many times within our communities in reality, when we see someone sitting next to us, do we say, Salaamu Alaikum, how's it going, how are you? Not to make small talk, but because you actually care about the person who's sitting next to you, even if you never met him or her before. Instead of creating cliques, instead of creating like divisions between people. Making a difference in the world, in reality, starts with you giving out of your own self. Who is the personality in humanity who is loved the most? No individual in the world is loved more than Jesus, alayhi salatu wasalam, right? Muslims love Jesus, Christians love Jesus, anyone who ever heard an anecdote about Jesus, they love Jesus, alayhi salatu wasalam. Why do people love him so much? Did Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam rule a big piece of land? Was he the king or the president of a nation? No. Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam had nobody amongst his followers except for three groups of people. He had women, he had slaves, and he had the poor. The three most isolated groups in human history are the followers of Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam. Yet people love him so much because he made his very best effort toward making small differences in the community that he was living in. In the anecdote of Ashura, who do we love the most? Who's the one that everyone wants to argue over who's going to sponsor that majlis? Who wants to distribute food in his name? Abu al-Fadl Abbas. Why? Did Abba al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam allow for that water to reach the children or no? No, but he made an attempt to do so. We love people who love to give. We love people who try to make a difference. And when we come toward understanding what it means toward being a person, being an individual who is making their very best effort toward making communal, socio-political changes within society, it starts with one giving out of their own selves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in chapter 4, verse 135, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ إِنْ يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَىٰ بِهِمَا. And in reality, the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, in his letter toward Malik al-Ashtar, quotes this particular verse of the Quran, in which he tells Malik that, O Malik, when you go out into the world, know that you have a responsibility to uphold justice. You have certain standards, you have certain values. You have to make your very best effort because within yourself you have potential to make difference in the world that you're living in. But make sure that when you're making that difference, make sure that you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's really, really easy to take a position, to do something, to go and attend a protest, to go and write something on social media, or even to go and write an op-ed or an article in your local newspaper. But if you're doing it so that people come and they like and they retweet your post, or because you want people to tell you about how great of a writer, how great of a speaker you are, then at the end of the day, we're not doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, he then tells Malik al-Ashtar, he says, O Malik, and if you want people to be generous to you, then be generous to the people. And if you want people to be kind to you, then be kind to the people. And if you want people to be favorable to you, then be favorable to the people. And then toward the end of that famous letter, he states, and O Malik, know that people are of two types, either your brothers in faith, or your equals in humanity. Imam Ali in this letter toward Malik al-Ashtar in reality gives a brief insight in terms of how we should live with people in society and community at every stage within our lives. Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, as we know by that famous Christian writer, is called the Sawt al-Adalat al-Insaniya, the voice of human justice, a man who would stand up even for his own enemies. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam, as we know, what makes him so unique is that on that same day of Ashura, after every single one of his family members had been killed, and he reaches the river Euphrates, and he is about to take water, the Imam was incredibly thirsty. Yet he looks at his horse and says, Oh horse, you take water before me. But that same Hussein alayhi salam, who was standing behind the tent on the day of Ashura, as some narrators they report, that when some of the family members, they came towards Sayyid al-Shuhada, and they said, Yabna Rasulullah, we see you behind the tent, it's the middle of the battlefield, and you're crying right now. Why? And he says, because I'm afraid that those on the opposing army, they're going to enter into hell because they want to shed my blood. This is Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salatu wasalam, making an effort to change the world because they care about people.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mukhtar on IRIB English Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 151st sermon in Nahjul Balagha, where Imam Ali alayhi salam is discussing about certain challenges that leadership in a community might face and how people should be prepared for those challenges. They should take steps, and the leader should especially be able to foresee these challenges, these fitnas as we call, to be able to pave the way for people to face them, to prepare them, to vaccinate them, so to say, so that this community is able to challenge, to face those challenges in the best way and overcome them. This is the general theme that is discussed in some of the phrases that we have been discussing till now. Inshallah, we shall take this a step further.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam clearly in Nahjul Balagha tells the people to take steps. Watathabbatu, for example, he says, be firm. Wahdharu, he warns them, be careful. Of what things? He says that be careful of the deviations of fitna. When those hidden undertones of fitna start to show up, they start to manifest themselves into the society. So he says that now be careful about this from the start. Prepare yourselves and vaccinate yourselves. Read, study, be aware of what's happening in your environment around you, and be prepared for those things that will happen. Now, one of the very important things that would help a person prepare is definitely any leader, wherever they are, however small their leadership role is that they need to be able to have that connection with the verses of the Quran, with the narrations of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his holy progeny. Because keeping in touch with this not only will give him insight, but will also give him solace and peace in the challenges that he is facing as a leader, as a manager. So these are extremely important. And a person should realize that as a leader, as a manager, the success that he is achieving in any level of his work is because of that attention that he has towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is Allah's, you can say, tawfiq, and Allah's paving the way and supporting people that they are able to achieve the goals and aims and objectives that they have, and they can plan well. So this is just a general reminder for all people who are trying to take up leadership positions.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, a religious scholar and theologian, holds a significant place in Islamic history for his invaluable contribution to the compilation of Imam Ali's profound teachings and speeches, which were later compiled into the influential literary work known as Nahjul Balagha.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam in sermon number 185 says, أَلَا فَتَوَقَّعُوا مَا يَكُونُ مِنْ إِدْبَارِ أُمُورِكُمْ. He says that, O people, expect what could happen or what normally happens in terms of the turning away of your affairs. إِدْبَارِ أُمُورِكُمْ. So there is something called Iqbalu Umurikum, there is something called Idbaru Umurikum. Idbaru Umurikum means everything doesn't go the way you want it to go. It turns away, it's going away in the wrong direction. The things are not working out in your way. They are working out in the opposite way. You see, they are turning away from you. Now Imam Ali alayhi salam is trying to tell us that there are, trying to prepare the society, that expect this to happen. There may be things you do, there may be certain influences that occur that cause the affairs not to go in the proper manner that you expect. And this is very important for a leader and a manager to keep in mind and to remind the people and themselves that look, this world and this universe, it works with certain principles, and don't expect therefore that always everything is done the way you think you want it to happen. So yes, you may plan, you may do certain things, but you may not be careful of some other things that would be a reason why this issue does not go ahead. Now, what are those issues that might cause that may cause an affair and your affairs not to go in the direction that you want? This is a discussion that Imam Ali alayhi salam in the later phrases of this sermon explains. And he says that, for example, if you perform a certain act or you do not do a certain act, it may lead to, for example, expecting the opposite results of what you've planned. Now, inshallah, we shall discuss about this in the coming sessions. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar in the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime has turned the largest medical facility in the Gaza Strip into a charred wasteland, a slaughterhouse, a cemetery. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, during its two-week siege on Ashifa Hospital, the Zionist regime destroyed all buildings and departments without exception in a clear crime that shames humanity, Gaza's government media office stated. The army withdrew at dawn after facing fierce battles from Palestinian resistance factions. When the families of patients, medical staff, and displaced persons who were trapped inside the hospital and its grounds during Israel's raid and massacre returned to retrieve their loved ones, many found bodies in fragments flattened under bulldozer treads. Children's corpses were discovered burnt beyond recognition. The media office added, inside the complex and its surroundings, the occupation army killed more than 400 martyrs, an attempt to hide its abominable crime by executing hundreds of civilians, the wounded, and the sick within the walls of Ashifa Medical Complex. They covered the bodies with piles of sand, bulldozed them, buried them, and mixed them with the ground of the complex. Moreover, more than 300 prisoners were arrested, while over 100 Palestinian civilians are still missing as a result of the occupation's shocking crime. The Geneva-based Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor stated, hundreds of bodies inside Ashifa complex and in the surrounding area have been found burnt and mutilated, including corpses with their heads and limbs severed. The group called Israel's destruction and slaughter at Ashifa one of the largest massacres in Palestinian history. During the 14-day raid, the Zionist regime forces carried out summary executions, kidnappings, while forcing medical staff to abandon their patients. The bodies of physicians Ahmad Al-Maghdame, a plastic surgeon, was found alongside his mother, Dr. Yasmin Al-Maghdame, inside Ashifa Hospital. According to Dr. Ahmad Al-Maghdame's colleague, the British-Palestinian surgeon Ghassan Abu Seteh, they were shot by Israeli regime troops as they tried to flee the hospital. More than 20 patients were found dead in their hospital's beds as a result of the Israeli siege of the complex and the deliberate deprivation by the Zionist regime troops of medical care, food and water, Euromed stated recently. During the siege, Euromed added, Israeli regime forces obstructed the arrival of relief teams and representatives of international organizations to the complex to carry out humanitarian missions. Palestinian resistance forces had engaged in fierce battles with the Zionist regime troops during the raid on Ashifa. Last week, Euromed Human Rights Monitor documented systematic and horrifying military operations by Israeli regime forces inside and outside the Ashrafah complex. Among these operations, the group explained, were at least 13 executions of Palestinian children between the ages of 4 and 16 years old. Euromed reported, some of the fatal shootings occurred during an Israeli army siege while the victims' families were inside their homes. Others occurred when the victims attempted to escape via routes that the Israeli army had designated as safe after forcibly evacuating them from their homes and places of residence. Euromed stated, Islam Ali Saluha, who lives near Ashrafah, said the Israeli forces killed his two sons, 9-year-old Ali and 6-year-old Saeed, on March 24th in front of their families and fellow locals. They specifically targeted the children, he said, with live bullets. Saluha told the human rights group that the Israeli regime forces ordered residents of the area to leave. His young sons walked just meters before they were suddenly exposed to intense gunfire, which targeted the two children, Ali and Saeed in particular. The children then fell in front of them, their bodies covered in blood. As family members attempted to pull the two kids off the ground, he said the Israeli forces opened fire on them again, forcing them to leave Ali and Saeed on the ground and to continue walking. The Zionist regime lawmakers and political figures have repeated claims that the hospital complex was used as a Hamas and Islamic Jihad command center. Naftali Bennett, the Zionist regime's former prime minister, called the destruction of Ashrafah an amazing battlefield achievement. Bennett claimed Hamas used the staff and patients as human shields in order to cause maximum civilian casualties as to create more criticism and pressure on Israel, adding that not one civilian was killed, not one. The Zionist regime's military chief of staff, Herzl Halevi, boasted that the army siege of Ashrafah sends a very, very important message here and hospital is not a safe place. Recently, Francesca Albanese, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in Palestine, included Israel's crime of medical shielding in her report on the genocide in Gaza. Albanese writes in Anatomy of a Genocide, targeting medical facilities while accusing the enemy of shielding within them had already been employed by Israel as a strategy of medical lawfare in previous wars. In the current assault, Israel has invoked this legal strategy to justify genocide through the complete destruction of life-sustaining infrastructure, her report states. Recently, Albanese called on the International Criminal Court's lead prosecutor, Karim Khan, to take action over the Zionist regime's genocidal campaign. Albanese stated, "This is the greatest moment of truth in the ICC history."
Sheikh Baghir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Qadamiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahruddin was.
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan,
Mulawi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Mu'allim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into the religious and scholarly life of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries, ulama and scholars all across the world of Islam during the history of Islam. For today's discussion, I have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Sheikh Fadai. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sheikh Fadai, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alright, for today's discussion, we want to talk about another outstanding figure from Afghanistan. He was, it's better to say, the founder or the first member and the president head of Afghanistan Islamic Wahda Party. He is no one but the late Shaheed Abdul Ali Mazari. Sheikh Rouhani, give us some details about the early life and biography of Shaheed Abdul Ali Mazari.
Yes, Shaheed Abdul Ali Mazari was born in 1326 and got martyred in 1373. Of course, he was among the great Shiite scholars who founded the party of Wahdat-e-Islam, Hizb-e Wahdat-e-Islami, which is a kind of political party which united the Shiite different kind of parties into one Hizb or one party.
Yes.
That's why he was among the leaders and founders of this political party in Afghanistan. And of course, he studied in Hauza Ilmiya of Qom, the Islamic Seminary of Qom, and he took part into the into the revolutionary activities in Iran, as well as he was the wakil and the representative of Imam al-Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi. And of course, then they moved to Kabul to resist against the leftist government and party that was ruling at that time on Afghanistan. They were supported by Soviet Union.
Yes.
That's why they started resistance against Soviet Union. They called Mujahideen.
Yes.
And of course, finally, on the 1373, he was martyred by the Taliban government at that time. And of course, later the president of Afghanistan gave the title of Shaheed-e-Wahdat-e-Milli, or the martyr of national unity.
That's all right. Okay.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
Besides his religious life, we know that he had, for example, the ijazah or the permission from the late Imam Khomeini in order to gather the wujuhat, the monies that become on that time in Mazar Sharif and the regions around. So I think religiously and scholarly speaking, he was fully authentic, but politically he felt this commitment to get back to his country, Afghanistan, and a struggle over there against communism and the Soviet Union. So Sheikh Fadai, I think he was very much after a kind of resistance power, and the resistance group or resistance ideology in the region. I could sum some of the footage, the videos and the photos of Abdul Ali Mazari and Sayyid Abbas al-Musawi, the late Lebanese Hezbollah political party. So can we say that he, alongside with the other scholars in Afghanistan, in Lebanon, in Iraq and Iran, thereafter establishing a kind of Islamic party, I mean the Shiite party?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, when I think about Abdul Ali Mazari, he reminds me of the book from our Supreme Leader and son, the Panjah Saleh, 250-year-old man. So what is the relationship between this figure and that book? You know, in that book, which is a combination of the different lectures of Ayatollah Khamenei, Ayatollah Khamenei talked about the history of our imams. And to sum it up, he wants to say that all of our imams, like one person, acted in order to have the power and have Islam.